On this episode of the Board Games and Beer podcast,
Vel, Danny, and I dive into our happenings of the past several weeks and continue our segment on good starter games.
We dive into the calendar and see what may be happening in the board gaming world, including upcoming Con Talk.
We look at what is in the pipeline and what is ongoing and what is ending.
We chat with Danny Devine, and he'll stay along with us for the whole show.
We look at the beer of the episode. It may be going green and slimy, and I may toss Vel under the bus in our beer game.
We step back into the vault to space and see what awful green things are lurking around the corner.
That and much more on this episode of the Board Games and Beer podcast.
Welcome. You're listening to the Board Games and Beer podcast. Welcome back to the Board Game and Beer podcast, episode 13. I'm your host, Vel, and joining me is my co-hosts, Morgan and Danny. So how are you guys tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great, thanks. How you doing, Morgan?
Oh, I'm hanging in there.
Hanging in there, yeah. Okay, so anyway, I want to mention that our theme was conducted by the astonishing Andrew Allen, who can be found at Keys with Soul. So why don't we just kind of jump into this thing. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus, you know, real life has kind of hit us and so on, but we're kind of back. So what's been happening since the last time we spoke? So why don't we do a little game talk? So I'm gonna throw it over to you, Danny, and what's kind of been happening in the gaming world for you?
The newest games I got, I received Coin Age and This Town Ain't Big Enough for the 2 to 4 of Us.
Oh, cool.
Which were a couple of micro games that Tasty Minstrel had on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I got a couple of plays of those in this weekend. And I know a lot of people, they throw the micro game term around a lot for several of the games, but I've never played anything more micro than Coin Age.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So are you guys familiar with that campaign?
No, I'm not, actually. Morgan, are you?
Yeah, I saw it.
Okay. Yeah, why don't you give us a little synopsis of it or whatever.
All right. Well, essentially, it is an area control game, and it was the entire Kickstarter was essentially for a single card that had a map on it,
mm-hmm.
and the rest was played with pocket change.
Mm-hmm.
So they ended up making a lot more money off of the campaign than they anticipated and were able to upgrade to several more maps, and they actually included Punch-Out coins and stickers that you could put on real coins.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But essentially, it's just it's a two-player game. Someone plays heads, someone plays tails. You get a handful of coins depending on what types you have. You get one of each denomination.
Mm-hmm.
You shake them up in your hands and you slam them down on the table in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on how many are showing, like if you're playing heads, how many of them are heads, it tells you how many actions you get to do.
Oh wow!
And you're basically just taking over territories on this little map, trying to gain control of the different regions.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really quick game. It's something that can be played. I mean, like I said, it's a card and pocket change, so it couldn't be more portable.
Right, right. So you can use it. You can just use any kind of coin, what, nickels or pennies or quarters or dimes or whatever, huh?
Yep. You need a certain amount of each one, but mm-hmm. it's not a ton.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not very deep, which I don't think anyone was expecting, but it's definitely something you could play while you're waiting for a game to start or mm-hmm. while you're ordering your food.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that one, I'm actually pretty surprised about how much strategy they were able to put into this little tiny game.
Oh, cool. Yeah. I'm kind of on a kick like that too. I'm kind of on a kick of those micro games too. So I kind of know where you're coming from there.
Yeah.
So. So, Morgan, what have you been doing?
Well, I got to playtest the Transylvania expansion.
Oh, really? Oh, you lucky. Oh, sneaky, sneaky.
Right?
Uh-huh.
So, there's kind of an extension, and then there's an expansion. There's two more player characters that we're kind of playtesting with.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the concepts that we had worked up when people voted, the Troubadour and the Ringmaster.
Okay, right. Yeah.
And those are just regular characters. And then the expansion actually turns it into kind of a co-op or team game, depending on how sideways the game has gotten before the traitor is revealed. It kind of has a almost like a betrayal at House on the Hill mechanic, or it ends up being everybody against one person, but it's the witch who's actually the person who cast the curse.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Uh-huh. And, of course, the first game, I ended up being the witch, and Lauren had to make it harder on me in the middle of the game because I was too close to winning.
Oh, he did with the way he rolls dice? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
I had my fair share of Lauren rolls that game, too. So.
Oh, okay. Well, that might be because you're sitting in close proximity with him or something, perhaps.
He kept touching my dice.
Ah, yeah, that's what does it right there. Well, you can't let him do that. You maybe had to bring your own.
Disinfect them between rolls?
Yeah, or something. Or just bring your own dice and go, no, I'm rolling my own. That's right. What I'd start doing. Oh, that's pretty funny. Yeah, so I guess it would kind of move over to me, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to get more into this into a little bit of a later segment, but I actually had three Kickstarters that I got into came to me in the last about week and a half. So I've had a chance to kind of play the snot out of those a little bit, which has been kind of fun. I'll mention the games, but like I said, I'm going to save talking about a couple of them for a little bit later in the show. But I got Dragon Slayer, which I'm going to talk about here momentarily, that dice game. I got Evolve, the creature building game from Andrew Rader. And I got Linked, that DNA card game. So I've had a chance to play all three of those. And I got to say, they're all pretty fun games. I like them. They're kind of quick and so on. So I spent a lot of time basically doing those. I've kind of been back to work and stuff like that. So my gaming's been a little bit wonky, I suppose, getting in and doing some things. But I was kind of excited to finally start getting some of these Kickstarter games into my hands. So. I got a chance to do that. And then, I know Danny was there, but, we've been doing this new meetup where it's kind of game developers and people play testing. And we had that on Thursday. And so I was able to play with this Brad guy. I don't know, Danny, if you played that boxing game of his, I think it's called Knockout or something like that. And I thought that was pretty fun. So
I haven't got to play it yet. He brought it last time. Mm-hmm. And it was just... other people kept popping in and I was always on something else, but I'm sure I'll get to play it at some point.
Yeah. And we're kind of talking about, I think that's something he ought to get out. Cause I thought it was pretty fun. It's kind of a boxing game, but with cards, and it had some kind of really neat mechanics. I thought it was pretty clever. So yeah, it's kind of the stuff I've been doing. So, not a ton, but kind of getting into X-Wing some more, and which is not good. I went out and bought a box to put all my ships in and all this stuff. And so I'm kind of getting into that a little bit.
I bought a handful of stuff. They actually had the base game on clearance at Target a few months back.
Oh, wow.
So I was able to bought two base sets
for
$11 each.
Oh, wow. Nice. What a steal.
And then I think I got one of the other special TIE fighters,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately I haven't been able to play it very much,
mm-hmm.
and I've been a little intimidated to go to these specific X-Wing Knights.
Oh, right.
Because I feel like they're people that may be too far into it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
So yeah, but I really want to play that more. But
well,
meantime,
ahead that, we have a meetup this Friday with that, and I go to it. And you had to come out there. It's not hardcore at all. I mean, there's only usually two or three of us or whatever. And I would recommend coming to that one because everybody's really cool. And we're trying to build some more people to come because it's basically sometimes just winds up being, me and Mike playing each other all the time. And it'd be cool to get some new people in there. But everybody's really cool. I mean, we're just trying to teach people how to play. So it's not like tournament rules or... I mean, we kind of play that, but it's not hardcore,
right.
So that's what I'd recommend doing. So, and I know I got Morgan into it too. We talked about it before, and I don't know if you've had much of a time to play it much since you came back from that con, but I know you're into it too. So the it's spreading, but I think the worst thing is the Dungeons and Dragon one that's going to be released here pretty quickly.
Awesome.
Oh,
oh,
it
I'm
does.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, really cool. So we're all so fired up. And in fact, the guy that does the X-Wing one, he goes, well, I don't know if I'm going to do much of the X-Wing once that thing hits. And I said, well, I can see that. And I said, I'm probably going to jump in full bore into that one, too, because it looks really cool.
Yeah, it does.
So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So anyway, so I think what we'll do, we'll roll into this next little piece that we throw into our intro where, you know, we're trying to build this list of what we would say like are good starter games for people to get into. And on the previous episode, remember, we talked about Kingdom Builder and Slender. So those are on our list and we're going to add three more. So mine is going to be Dragon Slayer, which is the one that I just got, the little dice game. It's essentially, it's a 15, 20 minute game, plays up to six. I don't know if you guys have played Dungeon Roll, but kind of reminds me of that just a little bit, where you've essentially, you are, you're a warrior trying to fight dragons. There's three different dragons you can fight. And it just kind of rolls around the table. You roll warrior dice and you get to pick the dragon you want to fight. But it's got this really neat strategic little mechanic where each player gets a little a token, and it's a challenge token that's worth 5 points because you score points when you kill these dragons. And when the person gets done, you know, they can potentially lose their warrior dice because the dragon can breathe on you, and you can roll it on your warrior dice, plus the dragons can do it as well. And you, when you start losing all your warrior dice, then your turn's over. If you haven't scored, stop to score the points for the dragons you've killed, you don't get anything. But what can happen is if you get down to a dice or something, then somebody, it goes in reverse order, they can challenge you to continue to go. So you can go, well, I'm out, I'm going to score the ones that I've killed. And they can go, nope, you're going to keep going. And then that person has one of two things they can do. They can either refuse the challenge, they get half the points for the dragons they killed, or they can accept the challenge. If they do beat the dragon, then they score double points for that dragon. But what's kind of neat too is, you, as long as the dice are there, you can keep killing dragons, you know, and scoring points. And then it gets the first person to 40 points, and then it rolls around the table one more time, and people can potentially catch up and stuff. But I don't know. I think it's pretty fun little game. I really like it. So I think it's a good intro one. So anyway,
I actually got to play that as well. Oh, yeah. A friend of mine from work backed that on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what did you think of that? I'm just kind of curious. I know Morgan has it, but she hasn't had a chance to play it yet. But
you know, it's, I do agree. It's definitely, I put that in the starter category. But it's kind of, I kind of wish there was a, it made me feel like I wanted a little bit more to it.
Right, right. Exactly.
So, I mean, like I said, it'd be great for families or kids. It's super easy to get into.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But to someone who's played other dice games, it kind of felt like,
right, right,
by the time the game was over, you're like, oh, okay.
Right, right.
But exactly. I mean, yeah, it's a very simple dice game. It works. It's not, I mean, it's not broken. And I do really like that the mechanic you were mentioning where you can egg people on to,
oh yeah,
try to push it further.
Yeah, we did a little bit of a variant and people thought it was a little unfair, but I thought it kind of made it interesting. But obviously the mechanic there was, is that we put in a thing that the person that made the challenge could actually pick the dragon that they wanted to fight, provided you, because remember, you have to kill them. You have to kill all three of them and then you can start over.
Right.
But usually what winds up happening is that people wait, but I still think it's a good strategy, and they wait till you have to fight the red one and you're down to one dice,
right,
you know, and do that. But I think that adds a little bit of flavor. We tried it before and I thought it kind of worked. We kind of threw that in there as kind of as a house rule, and I thought it kind of worked kind of well. So, but you know,
we did something similar and I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. We came to the same conclusion.
Right.
As soon as someone's like, well, I should get to pick which dragon you have to fight.
Right, right.
And we're like, all right, that's how we're going to do this.
Yeah, yeah. Fight the red one. Fight the red one. So anyway, so that's my choice. So Morgan, I'll pop over to you. So what's your starter game, one that you're going to recommend?
My starter game of choice this week is Love Letter. It mm-hmm. was kind of the hotness last year, especially.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about Love Letter is, especially the very basic edition of the game, comes in a little pouch. It's a 16-card deck. Mm-hmm. You can take it anywhere. It fits in a purse. It fits in a pocket. And it's very, very simple.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bluffing and social deduction game. It is a little bit player elimination, but the rounds go fast enough where there's not really any downtime.
Mm-hmm.
Players are trying to basically get a love letter to the princess, or at least get the love letter to the highest ranking person in the game,
mm-hmm.
so that it can then be passed on. And of course, you're using the abilities of the cards to force your opponents to change their cards or flip things over, whatever it may be. But it's really easy to teach, really easy to learn. Great for filler when, you know, you may be playing with a group of people and one game's gotten done just a little ahead of the next.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely fills that space in very nicely.
Right. I like that game. That's a great recommendation. Nice, simple, fun little game. Have you played that one, Danny?
Oh, yeah. It sounds weird to say I love Love Letter, so I'll say I'm completely enamored with Love Letter.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to repeat it twice, but it's a fantastic game. And I'd say there's a very slight barrier to entry if someone hasn't played like a deduction game,
mm-hmm.
but it takes maybe a round or two at the most before people completely get it.
Mm-hmm.
And right. are on board. Yeah.
You know, what's nice about that one, it does play quick, so you can do it a few times, you know, pretty easily so that they can kind of get their head around it. But yeah, that's a great recommendation, I got to say.
The other neat thing, too, is, and I don't know how many forums you guys frequent online, but just about every week I see a different one pop up. If you've got friends that are very, very passionate about a particular topic or a TV show, an anime, something like that, there's a whole bunch of Love Letter reskins out there as
mm-hmm,
well.
Mm-hmm.
Like I saw one for, what did I see one for? I saw one for The Godfather the other day.
Oh, wow.
So if you have kind of non-gamer friends that you're trying to kind of subtly introduce, if you present kind of a reskin variant, it could kind of ease that entry as well.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Awesome.
Not a bad suggestion.
Nope, not at all. So then, Danny, we're going to throw it over to you. So what starter game do you you going to throw in for us?
I'm throwing this one out because it's actually the game I've had the most success with mm-hmm. my family, mm-hmm. who's no one in my family is a gamer but me. So
right.
Which is Tsuro or Tsuro. I think the T is silent. So I'm going to say Tsuro. It's it's a game by Calliope Games. Are you guys familiar with it?
I'm not, actually. No, I've never heard of it. Sounds good, okay. But Morgan, have you heard about it?
Yeah, I have Tsuro of the Seas.
Okay.
So. There you go. So that's so Tsuro is the entry game. I'd say the Seas is, you put a little bit more gamery on it, wouldn't you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But Tsuro is a very simple game. There's a big grid, and there's a whole bunch of tiles that have pathways. And every player gets a stone that is representing their dragon.
Mm-hmm.
And every turn you take a tile and you put it in front of the path that your stone is on.
Okay.
And the entire goal of the game is to keep your stone on the board and have everyone else run off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So it's very simple. It's the components are fantastic and the artwork is just very, it's an abstract game, but it's very elegant and has this nice like classic Japanese looking mm-hmm. art style to it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It couldn't be simpler. Once you have the pieces out and you pick up a tile, you put it down and you say, then you move your piece here.
Okay.
Stay on the board and you win.
Right.
And that's like the entire explanation.
Oh,
for
okay. Is this like the paths, are they like colored and stuff? I have played this. I know exactly what it is now. I don't know why I didn't know what the game was, but yeah, I have played it. I know exactly what you're talking about. I just play so much stuff sometimes and I play just like something once so often that sometimes it takes a little. Yes, I have played that. That's a great recommendation. Yes, I do like that one. That's really,
that's a
really
one.
Cool.
And then, like Morgan was saying, Tsuro of the Seas is it's kind of like the sequel that they made to it.
Mm-hmm.
And that one actually, they change it to boats in the ocean, and there are actually these big dragon tiles that will move around that you have to try to avoid. So it just kind of adds a little bit extra to it.
Oh, cool! Awesome.
But it plays up to 8 people. It's just a . Highly recommended for starters or just anyone that wants a quick, easy game to explain to people.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So we got some good recommendations there, I would say. So has anybody else got any other shout-outs or anything we want to kind of throw out there before we move into the calendar?
Hmm.
I'm taking that silence as a no.
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and head on into the calendar. Okay, so welcome to On the Calendar. These are what meetups are coming up and what we may be playing or doing. We'll do a quick rundown of the last meetups and what is coming up on the Reno area tabletop. So what do we got there first, Morgan?
All right. First up on the calendar, we have Comic Kingdom Open Gaming, which is Wednesday night, September the 3rd.
Yep. A couple of days away. And then we've got Round Tabletop Games on September 4th. I just want to make a quick mention. The last one of this we did, we had 22 people show up in this little room that we use at the pizza place. And it was insane. We had about 5 or 6 games going on at once. It was pretty crazy. It's like one of the biggest meetups I think we've had. So anyway, so what else do we got coming there, Danny?
The Star Wheeze.
Yeah, there you go. Boy. Yeah, that's a fun game.
You know that great movie everyone likes?
Yeah, exactly. It's like Spaceballs.
Yeah, exactly. Star Wars X-Wing Miniatures game, which I was just invited to, is on September 5th.
Yep, and I hope you show up. And then we've got Comic Kingdom Open Gaming gaming on Saturday, September 6th.
Learn a new board game, September 14th.
Traditional game night plus beer, September 26th.
Board Game Blitz on September 28th.
And then, Morgan, do we got any possible... Oh, yeah, we do. You got some stuff on there.
Right.
It's coming up. You got some con things. So what can you tell us about that stuff?
Oh, well, I had to look them up to note down the days, despite having backed, I believe, both of them on Kickstarter. So, you know, I'm batting 1,000 tonight.
There you go.
But these are both in November. I'm going to TsunamiCon, which will be in Wichita.
Oh, cool.
It'll be November 7th through 9th. And then the Kansas City Game Fair is, again, the weekend before Thanksgiving. That is November 20th through 23rd.
Okay, cool. Awesome. So you're going to both of them?
I will be at both of them.
Awesome. So, yeah, Danny, the only thing I can remember, I know we've got some big thing coming up here. Don't we have some big con coming up? I don't know why it's kind of spacing it. It's some sci-fi thing. I believe, like, isn't William Shatner supposed to be there or something like
that?
Yeah,
and...
It's the
Wizard World Con.
Right, right.
So it's, they normally do them in Chicago, but recently they started kind of touring them.
Right.
So this year in November, it's going to be in Reno.
Right.
So, and they've got a whole bunch of celebrities lined up for it. So I know Bruce Campbell's going to be there, which I'm excited about because I love Army of Darkness.
Oh, I do too. Awesome movie.
Adam West and Burt Ward.
Oh, wow. Batman and Robin.
Yep. And then a handful of people from The Walking Dead are going to be there. So, yeah, it seems like it's more of like a miniature Comic-Con thing. But whenever there's comic books, board games tend to follow. So I'm sure there's going to be something with board games as well.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Yeah. Now, I understand. Isn't William Shatner coming to that as well? Okay. That's going to be cool. I wonder if we can we get tickets to that yet, or?
Yeah, they're available. I haven't got mine yet, but I need to.
Yeah, I've got to get up.
Kind of pricey. I don't remember how much they are, but it's not cheap.
Right. So yeah. I don't know why I just remembered that all of a sudden, but I just remember that's another con we got coming up. So, Morgan, you sound a little envious there.
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, okay. Well, you can always come. You know.
Apart from the bit where I don't think I actually have a weekend in November left. The weekend between the two cons, I'm judging a debate tournament.
Oh, there you go. Wow.
And then the other weekend is, of course, Thanksgiving.
Ah, that's right. Exactly. So, cool. Awesome. So, we got some stuff there. So, I think that kind of wraps up that part of it. So, why don't we go ahead and head into the pipeline then? Okay, so welcome to In the Pipeline. These are what new games are coming out and what may look good or not good for that matter. So what do we got in there, you guys? I mean, what kind of maybe roundtable this one a little bit, but there's some stuff that I know is ended and I'm actually not in a lot of stuff right at the moment, but I don't know where you guys are sitting, but I've got a couple that I'd like to mention. I might throw a couple that I got in the mail, but I'll kind of save it. So I don't know if you guys have anything that just started that you might want to mention that we're not going to mention or whatever. And we can start there if you want. Morgan, is there anything there, or do you want me to kind of go with what some of the stuff I'm seeing? Danny, same thing.
Well, I've actually been very, very spoiled the last couple of weeks. As far as what's shown up in my mailbox, Oddball Aeronauts showed up.
Oh, cool. Nice.
I was super excited for, and it is absolutely a fantastic little game. Of course, I got the Ku expansion and Dragon Slayer from Indie Boards and Carts. And this one definitely didn't fit in the mailbox. As a matter of fact, it's about 3 mailboxes big. But Sentinel Tactics actually delivered months and months ahead of schedule.
Oh, nice.
With the miniatures.
Oh, cool. So, awesome. Nice.
I'm totally geeking out over that one. I haven't gotten it to the table yet. I've kind of looked through it, flipped through the rules, perused the miniatures, and went, wow, I've got a lot of painting to do. But
oh, nice.
Yeah, that's definitely what's arrived for me. Okay. So.
And then, Danny, I know you, start of the show, you mentioned some stuff. So what have you kind of gotten into your hands that have come in Kickstarter-wise? I know you said you mentioned a couple of things.
Right. Well, I was unfortunately told I have to back off Kickstarter a little bit. So I haven't been into a lot of the
right. The
new stuff. My wife's like, yeah, maybe stop for a month or two. So as stuff that I've got, like I said, I got the two micro games from Tasty Minstrel, which was Coin Age, and This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Two to Four of Us. And then I just got notice today that Bell of the Ball is going to be shipping, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
nice.
That was from Dice Hateney Games. Mm-hmm. Daniel Solis was the designer.
Oh, cool.
And the artwork is just, I mean, I almost wanted to get two copies just so I could frame the cards.
Oh, yeah.
I'm actually in love with that artwork, so I can't wait to play that game.
Oh, cool. So, yeah, and so then I guess for me, like I said, the three that have come for me was Dragon Slayer, which we obviously talked about. I got Evolve, the card game, that creature building one from Andrew Rader. Had a chance to play that a couple times. Very fun game. It's got some neat little mechanics in it and kind of got some educational value to it, I think, which is kind of cool. But it had some fun playing. I've played that about a half dozen times already, I think. Came in a really cool wood box, too. He made this really cool, like, wood engraved box, and he's got this, it's got like a, looks like a raven head, butterfly wings, and iguana body as the animal that's on the front. But it's like all burn wood etched into the box, so I thought that was really cool. And then I also got Linked, the DNA card game, and, you know, in all honesty, I think that even has even more kind of educational appeal to it, which I thought was really fun. I've got to play that a couple of times too. So kind of fun getting some new stuff that, you know, been bringing it to the meetups and getting to play it with people and do something completely different that nobody's tried. So, you know, and kind of learning the rules together and all that kind of stuff. So anyway, so a couple things that I was looking at that I saw at was beginning, I thought looked kind of interesting, unless you guys want to throw some other things was in there. I was looking at this was a Dead Man Tell No Tales, which is, it's kind of a co-op pirate game. Looked pretty fun. It's about 14 days left on that one. I don't know if you guys had seen that one, but I thought it looked kind of interesting. I'm kind of a sucker for pirate stuff. Another one of my unfortunate weak vices that I have. So
yeah, that one was great. I like they did a good job with that. The video.
It's very funny. If you haven't went on Kickstarter and looked at that, it's pretty hilarious. The little intro video they did. Yeah, it was great. And then the other one I was going to mention was New Salem, which has got 19 days left. And that's looks like a drafting game, but it's kind of like based around the Salem witch hunts and stuff like that. But it has some very interesting artwork to it.
That's what I was going to compliment too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the artwork for that one stood out.
Yep, it's really kind of cool. So that one looks really interesting. And then the other one that kind of grabbed me, it looked like a little kiddie stuff, but it's got dinosaur monstery things in it. That's another one of my vices grabbed me, is that Roarosaurus, which has got 14 days left. Looks like another dice game. Kind of looks like a little more family-oriented thing, but I thought that was kind of a cool choice that was in there. I don't know if you guys have noticed anything that was in the beginning that you want to mention, but those are three that I've been looking at.
One that's only got 8 days left, and it's one that I wish I had money for. But were you guys familiar with the tabletop deathmatch that was at Gen Con last year?
No, I wasn't.
Mm-hmm. It was basically the designers of Cards Against Humanity.
Oh, okay.
Ran a competition for just to help publish board games.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a bunch of finalists and they kind of turned it into like a YouTube show. So they interviewed the people, had them explain their game.
Mm-hmm.
And this one didn't win, which was unfortunate, but I thought it was really neat. It's called Grow, the organic building game.
Oh, cool.
And it's it just has a really cool look to it. It's almost like an art piece in a sense, but it's an abstract game where everyone's kind of playing. I don't even think you're playing as anything. You're all building this tree,
mm-hmm.
and you're actually putting physical pieces together, putting leaves and flower petals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get points for growing flowers in your color, but there's specific rules and stuff to it, but just the way it looks, mm-hmm. it just looks awesome. It just looks like it'd be fun to play with.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
It's $50 to back it, which is out of my price range at the moment.
Right.
Hopefully they do well enough with it. It looks like they're not quite there for funding, but it would be nice. It looks like a fun game to play, and it seems like it's probably expensive to produce, but
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
it's worth checking out just to kind of see a different approach to a board game.
Morgan, do you got anything in there that you saw that's kind of beginning that you might want to mention, or?
I guess I'm going a little bit steampunk tonight. I've got a couple ongoings that I've been keeping my eye on. I'm not mm-hmm. in on either one of these yet, but I'm strongly considering it. Of course, this one's a worker placement, and we all know that's my weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It is like Clockwork Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
Which Mr. B Games has on Kickstarter. It's by Brandon Allen. The one thing that's holding me off is that there's no two-player for it. This one's for 3 to 4 players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are worse reasons for me to not back a game.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll probably end up in on this one. It has 21 days left.
Mm-hmm.
But this is basically a civil war, and you're trying to influence it by placing your workers to score influence and basically win battles.
Oh, okay. Well, that sounds cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm going to have to look at that, I think.
I'm going to spend your money.
Yep. That's always a given, I think.
Mm-hmm. 45 to get in on it. The board looks really neat.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen a little bit of play of it, so I'm thinking I'll probably end up in on it.
Right,
let's
right.
just be honest here.
Right.
And then the other one that I was looking at was Skyway Robbery.
Okay.
Which is 23 days out. Philip DuBerry has that on Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is, and quote, crook versus crook, globe-spanning high-altitude airship heist of the century.
Okay. All right.
So.
Oh, cool.
Oh, I hadn't seen that one yet.
Hmm.
45 to get in on it too, and I sincerely apologize for whoever's money I just spent there, but this one is gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
The art on this one is fantastic, and really a good looking retail product. And then for $14, you get the upgraded with all of the wood tokens and everything else. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, cool. Well, those sound good to me. Darn it, Morgan.
Sorry.
I knew that was not, that's like a given that always happens. It's just like a given every time you shop. And so now I've got to go look at that. Because I don't have that many that I'm sitting in there. In fact, the couple of them I was going to mention, I don't know if you guys had anything with the ending, but there's two of them I've been on that are actually, one of them ended just a while ago, and one of them is going to be ending tonight, is Neptune, which I thought really looked cool. It was kind of a Mediterranean gathering resources, kind of Roman themed sort of thing. I thought looked really cool. Another vice that I have a vice for. I got too many of them, I think. And then the Asking for Trobils, which is ending tonight, which I'm in on that one as well. So I'm glad to see that one made it. Is going to make it, obviously. So I don't know if either one of you are on either one of those. I don't know. Morgan, did you get back in on the Asking with Trobils?
Yeah.
Okay. Danny, are you familiar with that one at all, or?
Yeah, I'm familiar with both of them, but unfortunately, and like I said, I'm on a Kickstarter spending
hiatus. I gotcha.
Yeah.
Anyway, so anything else you guys want to mention maybe that's ending? I mean, those are two that kind of came to mind for me, but excuse me if you want to.
Oh, I've got one that's 70 hours out.
Okay.
Did you look at Nautilus Industries?
Nope, didn't see that one.
Nope.
Oh.
Now I suppose I'm going to look at it after you talk about it here, I'm sure.
Yep. This one's economic control, resource management, mm-hmm. A little bit of worker placement. I'll just read the blurb because it's easier tonight. In Nautilus Industries, players take on the role of a business owner who seek their fortune at the bottom of the seas. Word has spread of the riches that can be gathered from the depths, and the race to mine these rare earth elements has begun.
Ah, okay. Yeah, I might have to go take a look at that. It's got a couple of days. I could got time to go in there and look and dive into something else.
Stretch goals get you metal coins.
yeah, that might be the selling point right there.
But yeah, the art is, again, absolutely gorgeous on this one. Super excited for it. I saw this one a couple, 3 months ago on Twitter and knew that I was backing it.
Oh,
then.
Yeah, right, so. Right. Yeah, it's never a hard thing, is it?
So. No.
Nope, it's not. Cool. Well, why don't we wrap up in the pipeline here, and then we'll roll on into our little interview for the night. Okay, so, you know, Danny's been joining us, as people have been listening, and so we brought him in here, and we thought we'd do a little bit of follow-up with him since we have him here. So we're going to kind of wing it here a little bit with some questions. But so Danny, you know, obviously Ghosts Love Candy, obviously funded. So I guess my general question is, how's that kind of progressing and coming along?
It's going well. We unlocked a lot of extra stuff. A lot of extra kids and mm-hmm. ghosts and things like that. So it's at this point, it is lots and lots of artwork.
Mm-hmm.
I've got, I did 24 drawings of kids, the kids in their costumes
mm-hmm.
for the base game. And the Kickstarter added 58 more to every copy.
Oh, wow.
So that is what I'm doing now, drawing lots of adorable kids in all sorts of costumes.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So I'm still pressing along with it. It's obviously going to take a little bit of time, but mm-hmm. I want to make sure it looks good. And I mean, once we have the final product, it's going to be,
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to look really good.
Right. Right. And so, I don't know if I remember right from that. So you're kind of looking for getting that maybe into people's hands, what, like early into next year? Is that what the plan was with that? Or was it this fall or?
Let's see. I'm trying to remember exactly. He was, let's see, when was that? He had estimated, February of 2015.
Okay, I got
it. So as far, we're still on track for that. It might be more in March. It's so hard to pinpoint board games because there's many things, like, especially when you print over in China.
Sure, sure, sure.
But currently we're still on slate for the February of 2015.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So
and my first game, Mob Town, actually just went to the printers, so that's
cool.
We started that process. So all that artwork was done. I had to finish that first. And now I'm drawing Ghost Love
right.
Candy. So
right.
So loaded up my plate.
Mm-hmm. So when's that game gonna start landing in people? So you said it went to the printer, but what are you kind of possibly anticipating for that one to hit?
We're thinking October-ish at this point.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. So
not too far
away.
Not too far off. So hopefully that goes pretty well.
Oh, cool. Awesome. So Morgan, you got anything we could throw at him there, question-wise, you're kind of interested in? I mean, I've got a couple things I might want to ask him too, but I'll kind of throw it over to you a little bit there.
Oh, fantastic. So obviously, other than sometimes stretch goals will kind of blow you away with how many things get, you know, added to the game. But what else have you learned from this Kickstarter, really? What are kind of your takeaways now that you're a month or two out?
I mean, the biggest part is just kind of, I have a better estimation of how long something's going to take me to, because I am doing, a lot of the design and play testing as well as the art,
mm-hmm.
which isn't something that's super common. So it took quite a bit of, a lot of money, you know, more time than I was originally anticipating.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, things that I think we've kind of learned how to market a little bit better with Ghost Love Candy. I feel like we did a lot better with getting our backers involved. Our comment section was a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So we just learned a lot about how to interact with the backers, and we had a whole lot of feedback and participation. They were giving us ideas, and it,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was interesting. It was very different than Mob Town.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I guess the next question, I know Morgan and I, when we talked to you when you were on the show, you know, previously, you'd mentioned a couple little things that we were doing. And so I know you're obviously busy with the Ghost Love Candy, but is anything kind of changed as far as stuff that you're planning on, you know, possibly working on next? Or I know there's one of them that, you know, Morgan and I were very fired up about, so I'm probably going to throw that one in there. But just anything that's maybe taken the lead or something that's kind of in the pipe that you're willing to share with us?
Yeah, I actually did. I tried to throw together some quick prototypes just so I had stuff to play around with in between. So mm-hmm. Nothing's super polished yet. The one that you guys are referring to is the Medieval Tabloids game.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That I pitched.
That sounds so cool.
And that one, I did an initial playtest really quick, and it definitely has potential, but it's something that is different to me because that game is going to require so much social elements.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that I can't playtest on my own, because
right.
a lot of these games I'll design and I'll be able to run through them just pretending that I'm two or three players.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have bluffing and stuff like that, it's not something you can do.
Right, right.
So I need to give that one some more time to try to develop, because I think I brought it to some playtesters a little too early.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a couple of things I need to work out on that, but I'm not going to give up on that one.
Okay, well, yeah.
Because I still like that idea.
Yeah, I think that sounds awesome. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And then... Other than that, the one that's kind of taken the lead at the moment is the one that I brought to the playtesting meetup we had the other night,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which currently the working title is not great, but it's sort of growing on me. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. It's called The Monkeys of Super Fruit Island.
Right. Yeah, I know. I saw you guys doing that.
Which is Ghost Love Candy was something that the name was so dumb that I really started liking it.
Right.
And just how literal and quick it was.
Right.
So this one was just kind of something I wrote down. So there was something at the top of my Word document.
Uh-huh. Right.
And so when people ask what it's called, I tell them that. And
right.
It's starting to stick, but
right.
Essentially this game is a pick up and deliver game. You're playing as monkeys trying to gather fruit to bring to villages to earn points.
Mm-hmm.
All the while trying to avoid predators that are roaming around the island looking to eat the monkeys.
Yeah, I was watching this thing the other night, and it looks really entertaining. Yeah, I got involved in that boxing game, so I was kind of looking on my shoulder occasionally listening to you guys play it, and it sounds really cool.
It's got some potential. So mm-hmm. I've had some really good play tests with it so far.
Cool. So that's kind of the one you think's maybe more soon to getting, maybe doing something with it as opposed to the other one at this point, or still
yeah,
not sure.
At this point.
Okay. Oh, cool.
I think once I'm done with Ghost Love Candy, I'll be able to spend the extra time it's going to need to try, and I need to play a few more deduction games. You know, I love letters, definitely an inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
But I really want to try out Coup, which I haven't got to try yet.
Oh yeah, that's a good
game.
Oh,
there's a handful of games I want to try because I feel like I'm gonna find something there that'll help me figure out what my problems are.
Right, right.
So
oh, cool, awesome. So Morgan, you got anything else we can throw at him here? So we maybe wrap this little mini interview up, or any other questions?
Yeah, I'm afraid I'm reaching the point of brain melt. So.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Danny, for sharing some of that stuff with us. And we'll since you live here, it's kind of convenient, so I can kind of keep abreast of what's going on and let people know what's happening there. So, anyway.
Cool.
So, what do you guys think? Maybe we ought to talk about some beer. What do you think?
Sounds good.
Okay. Go for it.
Okay. So, welcome to the beer segment. So, what beer or spirit goes with a select game? So, the beer of the episode for episode 13 is Alpha Centauri Imperial IPA, and that's going to have some bearing because that always goes with our In the Vault segment. So this comes from the Hop Valley Brewing Company up in Oregon. So obviously it's a India Pale Ale, but big flavor, intense pine and citrus aroma. We keep the malt profile clean in this Imperial IPA to let the love light shine on the fine Oregon hops. So I don't know if that's our beer. I don't know if that looks good to you guys, but I think it's kind of cool. I like the label on it. And it fits our kind of our theme, I guess, for tonight for the In the Vault segment game. So anyway, that's our beer. If you guys want to comment on it, you can. And I hear the silence. We're all excited about it.
I haven't even heard of the Hot Valley Brewing Company, but I'll have to.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they've seen them in Reno anywhere.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. We tend to pull some really interesting breweries out. So, you know.
Yeah, I feel like if it's from Oregon, it should have made it down here by now.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. It's kind of cool.
I'll keep an eye out, though.
Yeah, anything space-themed is always going to grab my attention. So what?
Yeah.
So why don't we do a little quick game here, like a three-way game here of the throw a game and a beer at each other sort of thing. What do you guys think?
Oh, dear.
Well, you said you were ready, Morgan. You said you prepared. So she always kicks everybody's butt in this. So she says she's not ready, but I never buy it. So, yeah, why don't we do that? So, I don't know, maybe like one round through or whatever. What do you guys think? Sound good?
All right.
Okay.
All right. Sounds fair.
Okay. So I'm trying to think of three people. It's going to be kind of interesting. So why don't I throw this out and want to do it this way? Maybe that person throws it out and the other two have to pick a beer for it. How does that sound? That might be
Sounds fair.
That might sound interesting. So I'll go ahead and start. I'm going to pick something that we talked about tonight. So I'm going to throw out Dragon Slayer is my choice. So that's your beer. So Danny needs to come up with something and Morgan needs to come up with something for that. And I fiercely hear some people thinking.
Well, there is a beer I haven't got to try yet. I haven't seen it, but I've heard a lot of people talk about it. It's called Dragon's Milk.
Okay. Awesome. Nice call. That works for this perfectly.
And it looks like a very heavy stout, but okay. I've heard really good things about it. Mm-hmm. It's from the Holland Brewing Company, or the New Holland Brewing Company.
Okay. Where?
Oh yeah, there you go. Dragon's Milk.
Where are those guys at? Anyway, wonder if we can get that here.
I haven't seen it, but like I said, I listened to a couple other podcasts. It was people from Gen Con were ranting and raving about it.
Oh,
so
wow.
There was a bar nearby that must have had it, and people were just talking about it.
Okay, so yeah. we're looking at the Midwest, so obviously in like Indianapolis or something.
Apparently there's a Holland, Michigan.
Okay, that would make sense.
There you go.
Okay,
so that's what it says on the label, Holland, Michigan.
Okay. So what do you got there? What do you have, Morgan? What do you got to respond to with Dragon Slayer?
Well, I went the other way with it. I went a Knight's Ale, which is from the Noda Brewing Company in Charlotte, North Carolina.
There you go. That's
perfect. It's an American IPA. Right. So
you guys hit both elements of that game, you know, very nicely. So good job. So, all right, Danny, so we'll throw it to you. So you can toss one at Morgan and I and we'll see what we can come up with. I'm going to get hammered here like I always do. Not literally, hopefully.
I feel like there's some decent options for Pandemic.
Okay. Laden beer or something. or something along those lines.
Hmm. So this is about where I would make an Ebola joke, but that's really too soon.
I got one I'm teetering on, but I don't know how well that's going to work. Something with disease. Boy, that was a good. That's a good call there because that's kind of rough.
Yeah,
it's kind of a rough one. I don't know. See, kind of may. Oh, it looks. Well, maybe stumped both of us on that one.
Okay, so I've got one, and it's less thematic to the game, more thematic to the genre. But we're gonna go with it.
Okay.
All right.
So Pandemic is a little bit more, it's kind of, it straddles that line between a Euro game and not.
Right.
Of course, it's co-op and it's very Save the World and, you know, it does tend to lend itself to quarterbacking at points, which are all kind of hallmarks of an Ameritrash game. So
mm-hmm.
There is a beer out there called a Eurotrash Pilsner.
Nice.
So since Pandemic is kind of that hybrid game, I'll go with that beer.
All right.
Right. Oh, man. I don't know what I'm going to go with here. I'm kind of getting stumped here. Oh, boy. Boy, I don't know. I'm just trying to think something disease-laden, but I've got one here, but I don't know how I can really make it fit. So,
I had one in mind when I brought it up. It's not terrific, but
see, I don't know where I get my reaches here, but I'm gonna go with something called a puppy's breath porter. So I don't know how that
okay
dog bites rabies. Yeah,
yeah. You know, you I'm go. Just that's where I'm. Thanks, Morgan. You saved me on that because I don't even know that's where I was going. See, she saved me on that one. I owe her one. I owe her one.
Oh.
Nice, because I was going somewhere else with it, but that's an awesome. Thank you for the save there.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Morgan, it looks like it's your turn, so you throw in the last one at Danny and I. So.
All right, let me think here. What do I really want to go with this time? Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
So since the expansion for it just got here, and Danny, I'm being a little unfair because I know you haven't played this one, but since the expansion just got here and we've been playing with that, what beer goes with Coup?
What game goes with Coup? Oh, man.
That one, okay, so fill me in on that theme. Is it kind of like it's a futuristic looking theme? Okay, I've played Resistance, yeah.
Okay, it's set in the same universe.
Okay.
But with Coup, basically, you're playing as the people behind the power. So, face down in front of you, you've got two different people in the court that you supposedly influence. And by utilizing the unique skills of those people, like each card has an ability, and the money that you collect, you try and knock other players out of the game by forcing them to turn their cards up. It's a bluffing game, so whether or not you have the Duke, most of the time in a deck of cards with only three Dukes in it, if you're playing with five people, four of them have the Duke first turn. And at any time you can, if someone's claiming a card, you can say, no, that's bull, you don't have that card. And they either have to put up or shut up, they either have to flip it up and show you they have the card, reshuffle it in the deck and draw a new card, or just lose that influence. It's player elimination, so once both of your cards are face up, of course, you're out of the game. But the rounds are only about 5-10 minutes long if you've got a set of players that have played before. So it goes really fast, mm-hmm. and it gets oh, okay. really yeah, it's interesting.
Cool I've got something for it. I'm reaching, but I think it'll work. I'm going to go with something. It's called Collaboration, Not Litigation Ale.
Oh, that's very good.
Nice.
That's what it's called. So, ain't no cooperating a beautiful thing is the slogan, because there is no cooperating in that game.
Not at all.
Well, let's see. Well, it's a French. Is Coup French? That name?
The word is.
Yep, sure
the
is.
Word
is. Yeah, I think so.
All right, so I'm guessing this is too. I just typed in. That's cheating. I'm using Google, so this is cheating.
Oh, no, we don't cheat on this show.
Oh, okay. So it's I don't even know how to pronounce it. Coup d'etate or coup de, but it's got coup in the title.
Coup d'etat?
Coup d'etat, yeah. There you go. Revolution Brewing Company out of Illinois.
There you go.
So there you go. I'm cheating and I'm going to say that.
Nice save. Nice save.
All right.
Good job. Oh, cool. Well, that was fun. Yeah, we did all right. We did okay. Morgan saved me. She always does. Because I can't seem to do this on my own. So anyway, need to work on it still. I'm trying, but obviously I'm not making anywhere. 13 episodes in and I'm still sucking eggs out of this thing. So I think it's never going to end. Okay, so that's going to end the beer and game segment. So why don't we head on into our last one here and start wrapping up everything and head on to the vault. What do you guys say?
Sounds good.
Okay, so welcome to Back in the Vault. This is a discussion and a look back at old games that may still be around and those are out of print. And I know Morgan's certainly not in the mood here, but why don't you... Danny, why don't you give me a hand getting this drawbridge open here, and we'll get this thing open and get this dust this game off so that everybody can take a look at it. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and pull on that thing. Come on, give me a hand over here. Put your back into it. Put
All
your
right.
back into it.
I am pulling. Yeah. These are pulling noises.
Yeah, well, these are pulling noises. We got our hands on it. It's moving. It's moving. Okay. So on this episode, we're going to take a look back at the game. And it's still in print, actually. The Awful Green Things from Outer Space. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with this one, but very fun game, actually.
I am not, but it looks like there are several versions of it.
Mm-hmm. There is. And, it, you know, interestingly enough, I remember when this when we were playing it a bit, I had a friend of mine that was really into it. And I've kind of grown to like it later on. We were a little more into the more intense, you know, kind of games and stuff when I first started getting into this, which we've talked about a lot on the show. But this one seemed a little too lighthearted for some of us. But now I go back and look at it. It's a cool little game. I mean, you can get it. It's still in print. You can buy it with like all the expansions in it and stuff. And I know it's a Steve Jackson, one and so on. But, anyway, why don't we, go into a little discussion about this and then I can talk about it cause since I've played it. So, what's kind of the premise behind this one, Danny?
This is a humorously entertaining game that pits two players against each other aboard a spaceship.
Cool. Yep. And one plays the ship's crew. Trying to kill the evil and rapidly multiplying aliens controlled by his opponent.
And although the crew members have several weapons available to them, they don't know what effect those weapons will have until they try using them in combat against the awful green things.
So that's what's really cool about this. So, you know, essentially you've got, it's very humorous. They've set up all this whole goofy backstory where all these aliens have come from and so on. And, basically, they've got all these goofy weapons like, you know, pool sticks and fire extinguishers and stuff like that, which is kind of doesn't make a lot of sense, you know, being on a spaceship, you got a pool stick. But I think it makes it really funny. So they have this random thing where, you know, the weapons, when you pick them up, just like Morgan was mentioning, you don't know how they're going to work. So essentially what the crew does, they have to move around and pick these things up. And these things are multiplying, you know, every turn. And, they, you know, they start off as a little and they fragment and they're like these little globby things and they spread all over the ship. And so you have to move your crew over there to try to combat them. But then you can move into compartments in the ship and you can pick the pieces up. But then you have to go over and test it, you know, on the awful green things. And like sometimes it backfires, sometimes it doesn't do anything. So every game, it's totally random what all the weapons you pick up obviously are going to do to them. Like some of them even make them grow even worse. And so you're like, oh, crap, don't use that. And you've got to wind up dropping it. And then they've got some rules for it, you know, for them getting outside of the spaceship. And then you got to go out there in spacesuits and kill them. And it's just a goofy, you know, game. It's one of those ones where, you know, it's balanced pretty well. It can kind of go both ways. But, you know, it's got that random element in there, too. And what's interesting for the crew is I love that little mechanic as they don't know, you know, what's going to work and what's not. And it's really funny what some of the effects are when they get applied to stuff, you know, like the pool stick burns things or burns them and kills them or something along those lines. It doesn't make any sense, but it's so damn funny that I don't know. I went out and bought another copy of it. I kind of like the old one that this buddy of mine had. So it'd be kind of neat to have that one, but kind of the revamped one and stuff I have, it's really fun. So, you know, we'll talk about some of the review stuff that's here, but I don't know if I've kind of sold you guys on maybe taking a look at that, but it's a fun, goofy little game. It's great party kind of thing. Unfortunately, like I said, we'll talk about what you can do, but I've got some suggestions of things you could do. So let's take a look at a couple of reviews of this. So, I got somebody here saying that, you know, my all-time favorite beer and pretzels game. I got to kind of agree with that. See, perfectly fits with our theme. always happy to play, which is not nearly often enough. Even after owning it 20 plus years, a game I will never get rid of.
Someone else said that it's an excellent, fun game, light, but often deep. And it's a shame that it's only for two players, mm-hmm. which does sound like quite a bummer for all the things you were saying. It mm-hmm. sounds like it'd be, you should at least be able to do like teams.
Yep, exactly. And I'm going to tell you what, you can. And we've done it a lot with it. It does kind of work because there's a lot of creatures and the aliens can spread all over the ship and I think you could we've done it where we played with like 5 or 6 people and made it work just fine. And it's fun because you go, okay, I'll control these couple of guys. And then you kind of turn it into a little bit of a co-op kind of thing. And it gets interesting. And then the, you know, the monsters, the awful green things can kind of work together too. And I think you can easily expand it beyond 2. I mean, it's certainly not confined to it. You easily create house rules and stuff. We've actually, to be honest with you, every time we played it, we never do it with 2 people. You know, we always played it with like, I think a couple times we played with like 8 or 9 or 10 people, you know, and somehow managed and made it work. So another thing we got here is it's an excellent game with great replayability and surprisingly subtle options for each player. It's tons of fun.
And we've got another reviewer. This is one of my favorite games. It has a classic sci-fi theme, yet it's very light and humorous. The game is well balanced. You never know if the crew will find effective weapons in time. It's easy to learn and doesn't take forever to play. Further, I love the art. I can look at this game all day. This game really captures the 1950s sci-fi theme.
Mm-hmm. And I got to say that's the thing. The artwork's just really cool in it. I mean, it fits, you know, perfectly, you know, with that. So that's actually our recommendation. And I always seem to pick something nobody's tried, but I don't know if that Danny and Morgan, if that sounds like something you might want to look at now, but maybe our listeners will. But go get a copy of it. It's good. It's a fun one, particularly if you like those kind of theme things. So highly recommended.
It sounds familiar. Now I'm kind of thinking I might have watched the Dice Tower review on it at one point.
Right.
As soon as you started talking about trying to figure out which weapons worked on them. So, yeah, it's, I will play it if you bring it sometime.
Yep, I've got it. I always mean to bring it, and I have brought it to a couple of our meetups and stuff. And now that we've kind of mentioned it, I think I'll make sure that goes in the bag or whatever we're bringing so that we can go ahead and give that a whirl. Okay, anything else on that, you guys? I'm taking the silence as no, that we're good. Why don't we go ahead and we'll kind of roll on out of here. What do you guys say? Put a fork in this thing.
All right.
Okay. Okay, so thanks for joining us, and stay tuned for our next show where we will have more game talk, beer, and interviews. So you can contact us at where, Morgan? How can people get a hold of us?
You can find us via email at boardgamesandbeerpodcast@gmail.com.
And we are also on Twitter at @bgbpodcast_game. And our website is
bgbpodcast.com.
Okay. And we can also be found on iTunes and Stitcher. And I really want to thank Danny for coming in and giving us a hand tonight. It was great for you to come in and pinch hit for us and so on. And it's great to listen to your more talk about your games and so on that you got coming in. It always makes the show a little bit more fun. So where can people get a hold of you, Danny? Where are you at? Web pages, Twitter, any of those kinds of things?
The best place is on Twitter or BoardGameGeek. Mm-hmm. And at both of those places, I am at 3ddivine.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. And then, Morgan, how can people find and get a hold of you?
My website is ifyougiveageekagame.com. Of course, the email is ifyougiveageekagame@gmail.com. And I'm on Twitter as @giveageekagame.
Okay, sounds good. Well, Morgan and Danny, I want to thank both of you for joining me this evening. And we will see everybody on the next show. So once again, thanks again, you guys, for coming in and having a good time with me, with all of us, I hope.
My pleasure. Anytime.
Okay. All right. Night, Morgan. Night, Danny.
Night.